Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
You are listening to Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast.
Swung and lined to deep left field. It is gone! It went deep right. Batista's going to wave goodbye. Start the fireworks show.
This is Let's Talk Tribe, the official Let's Go Tribe podcast, episode 136. I'm your host, Matt Lyons, and in this week's episode, Cleveland Sports gave out awards, and one of them, for some reason, went to Paul Dolan. The Indians, their over-under is set at 87.5, second in the AL Central. Does that sound about right? We'll look at some Sabre nominees, and we will look at something called Cameo, and there's, you can pay celebrities and athletes to say things, and we'll look at some of the insanities of that, and maybe get somebody to do it for the podcast to do it. I don't know how that works exactly, but, and of course, we'll take your questions. Join me for all that and more is another Mr. Merritt Rolfing. Merritt, how you doing?
I thought we already took the questions and we're going to answer them.
Didn't I say that?
Nah, you said we're going to take them. Anyway.
Well, we're going to take them as you gave them to us, and regurgitate them into answers.
Oh, all right.
We take your suggestions and we turn them
alchemy-like into wisdom.
I was trying not to do that. I don't know if they have that copyright. They're going to come after us. Those McElroy brothers are ferocious.
They are. They're a troublesome bunch.
How's it going, Merritt? Did you have a lot of anything baseball besides cards that... There's nothing going on right now. I mean, I watched the sports awards to tell you how dead everything was. I actually sat down and watched it, and it was awful.
No, I haven't. I saw the movie 1917, and I believe in the year 1917, the White Sox won the World Series. So they were also cheating, which is something, you know, but going the other way, cheating to lose. So there you go. Interesting. Also, great movie, incidentally. So if you guys get a chance, go see 1917.
Dang, what was the movie? I just watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That was good.
That movie was awesome. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, I don't know what happened for most of it, but it was really good.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that vibe with a lot of Tarantino movies. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I walk out going, this was transcendental. What the hell?
Well, most of them are what the fuck is going on with the violence, but it was like opposite this time. Like nobody's dying yet. I don't know what's going on.
And then it's just the story was meandering, and there was that time cut in the middle where he goes to like Italy for a while. And acting
for no real reason.
Spaghetti westerns for a while. I'm like, what the fuck? But yeah.
There was feet everywhere because it's Quentin Tarantino.
Awful lot of feet. Nice feet, too. Crazy.
You know what could have used some feet, Merritt?
Tell me.
The Greater Cleveland Sports Award. I wanted to see. There's no real way to segue into that. But I watched it. It was, they gave out awards to sports people. There was, Roberto Perez was up for Athlete of the Year, which seems
Didn't
like
win,
a curious
though.
Choice.
Just bullshit.
Did not win. I don't know why it wouldn't have been Santana, at least. I love me some Roberto Perez, but as far as like stories for the Cleveland Indians or the Cleveland area and success on the field, I would have went Santana. I mean, Lindor you could do, I guess, but I don't think he did anything spectacular by Lindor standards this year. But obviously, Roberto Perez lost, but I don't remember who won that. It was the
UFC guy.
That's right. Yeah. And he was going to win no matter what. So there was it doesn't matter who was nominated.
He rules. So like whatever, who cares? Yeah.
And it was funny because he was so nervous on stage and he couldn't hold the trophy. And it was so different compared to how he is in the ring and everything.
He's an adorable boy.
But then also, of course, Paul Dolan, not Paul Dolan specifically, but the Dolans won an award and he accepted it for him and gave maybe the worst answer you could or the worst way to thank your fans. I would think by now most people saw it, but
I don't understand the award. It's a Lifetime Achievement Award. So they've owned the Indians since what, like 1999 or 2000 or something like that, right around there?
2000, yeah. I mean, their award in this case is basically just be rich and not move the Indians.
I guess.
That's what they got it for.
I mean,
that's their lifetime achievement.
I don't understand. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they've done to, like, they didn't do anything like what the actual guy Jacobs did, who, you know, he fixed baseball in Cleveland that had been wallowing in hell for 50 years or whatever. He didn't do anything like what Bill Veeck did to actually make people go to the games.
Yeah, is he one of maybe like the least, because like you say, all these owners did these huge things. Like Bill Veeck was a big deal with all the things he did. And obviously the Jacobs, like you said, but I mean, Paul Dolan, other than just keeping a consistent structure in Cleveland, maybe he hasn't done anything like outstanding for the Cleveland area or baseball in general, like these other guys did. So it seems like of all the Indians owners, he's the,
he presided over the least qualified. I mean, he presided over a very uninspired and, renovation of Jacobs Field at one point. The corner is cool, but oh, those shipping containers are pretty stupid, I think.
They're pretty bad. Yeah.
But beyond that, I can't figure out what he did to deserve this. So I guess it's just none of the other owners really had a banner year, I suppose. They all had or are having losing seasons.
And I don't know why you have to give it to an owner either, though. There's got to be somebody else sports-related in Cleveland
who deserves a lifetime achievement. Surely one other person. Exactly. Like, who's doing real things. Give it to Paul Hoynes, for God's sake.
I mean, Fred McLeod, who just died, he was the Cavs broadcaster. He was the broadcaster there for 8 years. He called the championship. He should have gotten it. I don't know. It made no sense to give it to the Dolans. And even if you were, like, if you did this a couple years ago, I think people would have been fine with it. But this year is not a good year to do it.
Very bad year.
With what he said last year, and then he made it infinitely worse because he made a joke about the enjoy him thing, referring to everybody else as you people. He said, I'm not sure I can tell you people to enjoy him. And it was funny, too, because that was the first part that came out, and everybody thought that was the worst, is that he enjoy him joke. And then the first paragraph of what he said came out, and he thanked specifically the fans who buy sponsorships and tickets in the suites because it's good for business, he said.
Yeah, well, that's...
God, that was awful.
They are the owner's favorite fans because they pay for the tickets even if they don't go. So, you know, like my new job is going to have season tickets to the Nats, which I'm very happy about because I'm going to poach as many of those as I can. But
well, there you go. The Nats appreciate you and not all these other schlubs who only buy tickets when they can.
Hell yeah. Finally, I get to be on the other side laughing at the shit at the hoi polloi. Awesome.
This is going to be great. Look down from your suite and guffaw at all the peasants in the lower bowls.
Literally during my interview, he asked me where I thought we should get the seats. I was like, is this really happening? It was a weird interview. I had the job going in, but still, I was like, what the hell's going on here? But I don't know. Dolan's, someone else said this too, but I don't know what his problem is. And I don't mean like he's being tone deaf or, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he just keeps on saying dumb shit in the microphones. And I don't know why he doesn't have like a publicist to do that to like, or like a media guy to like run in, maybe not in this case, but like last year during spring training was an excellent case of why are you talking into a microphone?
Oh yeah. He was on like a media tour last year. And
yeah. What the hell was that?
Every single interview was awful.
What are you doing? Like maybe if, I don't know, the best owners are quiet. Usually I think you just don't really, the best ones are ones you just don't particularly think about, I suppose. But I would think maybe I don't know why I didn't do like a state of the, you know, like a state of the union sort of a thing, but for the Indians. Like commissioners do that too. I mean, I can imagine that happening. But like, I seem to remember one of those interviews being like in a parking lot or like in a like not in a normal place. He was just like hanging out by the game, like by the, you know, at the park somewhere. And they're like, Mr. Dolan, what about Francisco Lindor? Well, we'll just enjoy him while we can, huh? And we're all like, you son of a. So I don't know.
I think he's enthusiastic about the team, and he's just like aloof to everything else. Like he said, he sees everything through optimistic. Like more optimistic than others, and I just think he's bad at realizing that other people have to afford things. And like it's not just something to take for granted, like he is, that he's able to run this team and have a somewhat winning organization year after year.
I wonder if it's part of that thing too, where just it seems like if you're very rich and you did one thing well, you think like Elon Musk is a good example of this. He got rich off something, PayPal maybe? I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
PayPal. Yeah. Now he thinks he can do anything. So it seems to be a thing that happens to a lot of people who end up with a lot of money, and I'm wondering this is just a small symptom of
like he thinks he's going to be his own PR person now,
right? Exactly. Like, of course, yeah. I'm a man of the people. Not only that, I mean, I run a great team, and everyone loves me because they like the Indians. And you know what? I can speak for myself. I know what the people want to hear, and you know what? I know they just appreciate seeing Francisco Lindor while they have a chance. So
those people. You people Those love people. It, don't you?
Yeah.
And the worst part about all this is the fact that the Indians won another award. It's Shane Bieber and Carlos Carrasco tied for the sports moment of the year. Shane Bieber's All-Star MVP and Carlos Carrasco, his return from leaving for cancer. And then that got completely overshadowed. Like, I didn't see anything about that the day of. It was all about what Paul Dolan said. It wasn't the fact that the Indians hosted a very successful All-Star weekend. One of their players won it. And also, oh yeah, one of their players had cancer and came back and still pitched really well. And then won an award for it. So yeah, that's the biggest shame, I think.
Two amazing stories, like two objectively great tales of coming from nowhere to you know, receive an award over literally the best players in the game, and the other guy overcoming, you know, a withering disease to come back and pitch at the absolute highest level. You know, he wasn't his best self, but he was still very, very good. And that's what we should all be talking about. And then we just talk, and then just a doofus finds a microphone, and you're like, no, please.
He just wanders in and starts talking.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know. Like Bieber's thing, it was a week before, too. I remember he was announced at the last second and won it, which was part of the mystique of him winning it, as that was, it was so late in the game. But yeah, the Greater Cleveland Sports Award, it's not a great watch. It's good to know the awards, but it's one of those, it's a fundraiser, so it's only good if you have a ton of money and you can pay, like, it was like a $300. Justice League poster you can bid on, which I'm not going to do that. So there's no real sense in watching.
Justice League? What the hell?
Yeah. They had a bunch of, like, it wasn't all just sports stuff. There was a bunch of posters that were signed.
What a knockoff ass award show.
Just whatever you can find, bring it in and we'll auction it off.
Look, I like Justice League. I'm over Batman, but I enjoy Superman and The Flash, but We live in an Avengers world until otherwise notified.
Oh, they had Avengers. Don't worry. They had an Avengers one, too.
Oh, all right. God damn.
Yeah, which went for a lot more, I'm sure, because good lord.
People like those movies.
There was a Baker Mayfield jersey barely ahead of the Justice League poster, which I thought was kind of funny. I guess if you're that kind of person that attends that, maybe you don't usually want a jersey. I don't even think you'd want a Justice League jersey either, but.
If I ever got really rich, I would only dress in cargo shorts and sports jerseys. Why would I do this, you ask? whatever. Who cares?
I'm rich. Give me a microphone. I can do it.
Yeah, come on. I got some things to say. I have money, so my opinions are needed.
I have thoughts. You want to hear them.
You know you do. I'm wise. Man, let's talk about Shane Bieber more. I don't even know what we talk about, but...
Shane Bieber.
Man, he rules. Handsome. Boy, look at that 30% strikeout rate last year with a walk rate of just 4.7%.
Somebody in the questions, they asked who's going to be the ace of next year. I think it's going to be Shane Bieber. I mean, it's either Bieber or... Or Clevenger? It's not Carrasco.
Clevenger's having the best start to a career since Bob Feller among Indians pitchers.
I thought you were going to say, or
maybe Sam McDowell. One of the two.
There you go. That's what I was thinking of. He always shows up in everything. That's Sam McDowell.
McDowell is just. I think he was a bit of a slow starter, if I recall correctly. I'm going to do some clicking to get there, but I think it might be. God, Sam McDowell's the most miserable looking dude on earth. Oh, good lord.
All that's the war just weigh down on you and drag you down after a while. You just melt into your Fangraphs page.
Yeah, his first four seasons. He did win the ERA title in his fourth full season.
But, that many years? What a bum.
But he was not super great, whereas Clevenger's just been unspeakably good since 2016.
Well,
really,
Clevenger had a bad, or like an average first year, though, like his when he was partially starting and partially in the bullpen.
It was less average than you remember, I think. I guess there was that. That's true. 2016, 53 innings. But then he shot right up there, man. His ERA dropped 2.5 points. And yeah, he was great. Now, if he could throw 200 innings again, that would be a tasty, tasty dish. And I think he'd win a Cy Young Award. But we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I think that's the one big thing.
Bieber. I'm so excited to watch Bieber pitch again.
Me too, man.
We talked about it a bunch. He's just a fun pitcher to watch. And they're both fun for different reasons. Like, I don't care what Clevenger does. He's just fun to watch flail around on the mound. Yeah, but Bieber is like the opposite. Yeah.
I just wish one of them was left-handed. So you have this one incredibly fidgety righty. And then this guy who is literally like, I don't know, like just a metronome. Like even more so than Corey Kluber almost.
Yeah.
Who's now on the Rangers, everyone. I keep on reminding myself of that, so I just got to mention
that. That's not true. That does not exist. He just disappeared. He just was snapped out of here.
I'm done now.
He does not play for another team.
He just said, I have to go. My planet needs me. It disappeared.
And then rockets came out of his feet.
Yep, exactly. It was great. It was like the ending of the Poochie episode, except not quite as sad. He did not die on the way back to his home planet.
Now, whoever is the Indians' ace next year, it doesn't... It's not looking extremely optimistic by some standards. Bet Online, they had released their opening lines for the 2020 season, and the Indians are actually second in the AL Central by a full five games. They're over-under is at 87.5 wins. The Twins are at 92.5, and the White Sox are surprisingly close, 84.5.
That was worrying.
Yeah, that's the more worrying thing to me, is that like the Twins, I think they're going to underperform compared to last year, so I think we might be a little overexcited about them. I think the Indians can be better than 87 wins, but... If the White Sox are creeping up, that's the scary part to me. Is that any other good division and team in the division is scary compared to just having the Twins to chase down.
This is tangentially related, but it does circle around the White Sox, and they just signed Yasmani Grandal, right? Right? Yes. For the catcher. Anyway, I was watching MLB Network's top 10 right now catchers.
Oh, yeah, the top catcher in baseball they just signed. Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah, and well, more important, you know who's not on that list at all? Like, I was watching, I was like, well, I mean, he'll be on there in the top six then. Oh, so he's top five? No way, he's top four?
He's top two? Going.
Yeah, I was like, wow. I was like, that's weird. But yeah, no Roberto Perez, which, again, I get that he can't hit. You know, he did not hit worth a damn up until this year, but...
It's that two-year average again coming back to bite him because
I know it really is. I mean, he was so very bad and kind of a part-time player that year too. So,
and even this year, he was just barely an average hitter, like slightly below WRC plus.
I think he was the best catcher in the AL Central in 2019.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think he was one of the best overall catchers.
Oh, definitely. I mean, what's his name on the Twins? He had a good what's his name? Mitch Garver had a nice batting line. Great batting. He slugged 630 at 31 home runs. I mean, I'd prefer that, but I think defensively the separation between him and Perez is monumental. Much less so than with Yasmani Grandal, unfortunately, who is a true and unadulterated stud and who keeps on getting these weird contracts where you're like, I don't understand why he doesn't sign for more or longer years. You know what I mean? He's been good. Like, I think his worst year was like, I don't even know what day, what year it would be. Not Yandy. I don't want to get sad today. Yasmani Grandal. What a great name, too. But
it's a baseball name, Yasmani Grandal. It's a catcher baseball name, too, is the best part.
I mean, since you went to the Dodgers, what, 1.5 WAR, 2.7, 2.2, 3.3, 2.5 last year? And he's 30, and I get that, but it's just, he's been an elite catcher for 6 years or 7 years or something like that, and yet he just keeps on kind of ending up in weird sort of places. Milwaukee last year, the Dodgers kind of let him go. So I don't know.
No, it's part of that maybe because nobody wants to buy into a catcher that long, especially at 30. Like, nobody wants the long-term catcher anymore because
I think that's 100% it. Yeah, right. I think that's 100% it. I'm amazed that a team like the Dodgers were so willing to go from that to Austin Barnes, who's again is a good defensive catcher, but they went with from one of the best ones to a bad one. Maybe they like Will Smith, I guess. I don't know. I guess he was good with the bat last year in 54 games. So
yeah,
maybe they decided to get younger, but yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
It's the White Sox are scary now. I think I know they can't pitch, but they have Edwin, they have Yasmani, they have Yoan Moncada.
That pitching staff's going to be better than we think, man. I don't know. I mean, Giolito was very, very, very good. I like Reynaldo Lopez a lot. And a couple of those guys, are going to start putting it together. Isn't their top prospect a pitcher still? Is that Dylan Covey, maybe? I don't know. Suffice to say, I think they'll be better than we think. Their bullpen is trash, but that is a tradition unlike any other. They're supposed to have a bad bullpen.
And the thing about in the division, too, is like, no team is either good or bad for a whole season. Like, if the White Sox can get 84 wins, there's going to be streaks where they're hitting really well. And if it's just unlucky where they play the Indians when they're on a high streak and the Twins when they're playing bad, that's really bad. I mean, it could go the opposite way as well. But the fact that wild card is in the division now is scary. Mm-hmm. I want more Royals and Tigers to just demolish, and then you got to beat the Twins. But if you have to hope the White Sox are on their downward pendulum and not having all their batters hitting a million home runs in a week when you happen to face them, that's a little scary to me. And the fact that if the Indians actually slip to third in the division is a huge, goddamn, it's depressing. Be third in the AL Central with how bad it still is overall. I mean, the Royals and Tigers aren't going to do shit to catch you, but if the White Sox can be over 84 wins, which I think is possible, I think basically the Twins, I think, are going to be under 92.5, the Indians over 87, and the White Sox over 84. And then it's going to be, it might be a closer division than it's been in a long time, which I'm kind of okay. Well, I want the Indians to come out on top, but if this is a race that we can actually watch and enjoy instead of just being guaranteed a spot, I guess it's okay. But I just want to win the division and see the playoffs again.
So I was curious. I didn't remember what it was from last year. The Indians ended up winning, 93 games, right?
Yep.
Yeah, 93 games. The over-under of last year from Caesars was 91.5. Do you know what the Twins' over-under was last year, Matt?
It had to be a lot less. I remember thinking the Indians were going to destroy the division.
84.
Yeah. I remembered. I hope it's 100, not.
They won 101 games.
At one point, I distinctly remember saying that the Indians will win the division by double digits even without Francisco Lindor. So that's definitely a thing that turned out to be not quite as true as I'd hoped it would be. But yeah, I think people are forgetting how confident we were last offseason. Yes. Because there was no thought that the Twins were even close.
Oddly enough, the White Sox was 74.5, and they came out under that, but it's only 72. So, you know, it's a crapshoot sometimes, and things change suddenly. I guess people didn't really think that everyone on the Twins is going to hit 1,000 home runs. So,
yeah. And I don't think they're going to do it again, which is part of it. I think the 92.5 wins is – I mean, they signed Josh Donaldson and Michael Pineda. That counts, I guess, but he's not going to help a lot. But and they have a decent couple pitchers up front. But I still don't think they're going to get to that many wins. They were just so overperforming last year, and I think it's going to come back to not – the fact that they were good last year doesn't hurt them this year, but it's going to look a lot worse this year when they're not hitting a million home runs.
Well, and with the White Sox picking up, you know, an extra 12 wins or whatever it is, theoretically, you know, it's a zero sum game here. So they're definitely going to steal some of those from the Twins who, you know, that they went had the Twins do last year against the White Sox. They went, I'll tell you right now, once I find the damn thing, I lost it.
I guess at the very least, we don't have to worry about the wild card because you're not going to get it anyway. So it doesn't matter if the division beats up on itself because clearly it's going to be Yankees, Red Sox, and Rays are going to get it. One of whoever doesn't win is probably going to get the wild card again. So at least we don't have to worry about the White Sox taking away that chance from us.
So the Twins went 13-6 against the White Sox last year. I mean, I think that'll kind of tack back towards something like what they did with the Indians, which was they went 9-10 against the Indians. Actually had a winning record against the Twins last year. That's interesting. If only that toilet of an April didn't happen. Boy, that sure would have been nice.
It's going to happen this year, too, and it's going to be way more annoying because the Indians did absolutely nothing this offseason, and then it's going to be
I think you're forgetting the conversation we literally had 1 week ago today that they literally have a top 10 second baseman now, somehow.
They signed a top 10 second baseman. They're going to put that on the banner outside the stadium, top 10 second. It's not going to have his picture or his name. It's just going to say Francisco Lindor, top 10 second baseman, and then Carlos Santana over here, and then because that's what they got. It's
actually, you know, it was May that was the toilet month. That was the 12-17. They have a winning record every other month except May. And
weren't they bad in April, too? I thought they were.
15-10, because they always go about 15-10 in April, and we always get mad. It always happens. I'm really
The Twins must have had a really good April then, because I remember the Indians being way behind early on, weren't they?
Yes, the Twins went absolutely nutso in April, yes.
Yeah. Wasn't it just a couple years ago where the White Sox started really good too? That was fun, and then they just absolutely collapsed.
The Twins went 15-9, so one game better than the Indians, but then they went 21-8 in May. So that
so it must have been May. I remember it being way. Yeah. I just must have blocked
April. I think we were just groaning a lot about having to watch
Eric Stametz. Let
me pull up a random game.
Nope, let's not do that, Merritt. I refuse.
Leonis Martin and. Max Maroff and Brad Miller and Eric Stametz. Oh, God.
I think the good thing about Martin is that it showed us how good of a leader Lindor is. That's about the only good thing that came out of that. Mm. Was when he missed that ball and there wasn't the dugout yelling at him. That was encouraging.
You know, that's a pretty good silver lining you found there, man. Very nice. Very nice.
It was nice to see that we know proof that Francisco Lindor is holding people accountable. I figured he was, but that was pretty good. So, yeah, I guess that's where we're at. I think we both... we both think these are probably pretty close, right? We think it's going to be a pretty close division.
87.5 wins, though.
I think it's high.
I think they'll do better than that. They're still a really good team. I mean, I know that we're putting a lot of hope in specifically probably Aaron Civale and...
Yes, yeah.
The two things I think I'm kind of being reckless in hope with is Aaron Civale maintaining this while increasing his strikeout rate, I would hope, and Roberto Perez maintaining the bat. Right.
Yeah.
Those two things I think are huge. Now, I did have a thought in the back of my head too, because Major League Baseball likes to screw with stuff when it comes to seemingly vital pieces of the game. What if they change the ball again? What if it becomes a pitcher's ball again?
And goodbye, and Twins.
All of a sudden, uh-oh.
Now, does that benefit the Indians? Because then everybody will have a good pitching staff, or does it make it harder for them? Because then they'll hit
I think. Well, I agree. I see where you're coming from. Yes, but the scoring would go much lower, and it would.
I mean, they can win the tighter games because they have the better bullpen. So I guess
the mistakes being made no longer end up, or even not even mistakes, but you know, like a fly, the easy fly balls that turn into home runs, or Your margins for error gets greater. And I think that if you have a dominant pitcher, the margin for error being greater is much more impactful than if you have a league average pitcher who suddenly can make a few more mistakes, I suppose. I think. I don't know. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But in a pitcher's league, those with the best pitchers probably win more games. And it's, you know.
I think it's safe to say that you need some better pitchers among a lot of people.
I know we're being bold and hoping for, you know, growth or maintaining from guys like Savali and even Zach Plesac. Both of those guys have to be at least pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Carrasco coming back also and performing again. I mean, you look at the season numbers last year and they were not good, but again, he was dealing with, you know, cancer. So what can you
there
do?
There is that whole thing.
I guess the hope that he comes back, Clevenger, you get all year out of him, Bieber continues to be who he is, Carrasco can be a good three, and then Savali and or, what's his name, are something resembling the real deal. And then that bullpen, of course. So we'll see. But I think they'll get 90 wins, though. I think they'll be a 91 team.
Yeah.
I would bet the over.
Yeah, I would.
I'm stupid and bad at gambling, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I've never bet on anything, but I would. That's an over I would take. I think it's pretty obvious.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
So this is a time of year when there's not a whole lot going on. So it's a good time to just look at other things, other interesting things people have done, which is a good time for the Sabre Analytics Conference, which takes place in March. But they announced their finalists for the 2020 Research Awards. They have three categories for it, which is basically just celebrating baseball writing. There's contemporary baseball analysis, baseball commentary, and historical baseball analysis commentary. I figured we could just look. I didn't know before I initially tweeted about this that I actually host a podcast with a Sabre-nominated writer.
Yes.
One Mr. Merritt Rolfing. Which one were you? That was probably contemporary baseball analysis, right? What was that commentary?
I guess I'm you should explain literally that, what trying your post to was. Find it now.
it was a post basically about how far he's declined.
It was a piece about how bad just the precipitous decline of Albert Pujols and how watching him now is like watching, I don't know, something terrible.
Sadness in baseball,
I guess.
Uniform.
But yeah, no, I was nominated in, I don't know what year it was, 2017, I guess.
Which is even crazier that it's 3 years longer and he's still playing.
I know.
2017, we were writing about the rapid decline and he's still here.
And just don't go look at his contract. It's fine.
Yeah. He's doing great.
Just about him too. It is amazing to look at like some of his like Statcast-y sort of like peripherals, and he still hits the ball really hard. He just hits it down into the ground.
Yeah,
He's a free agent after 2022. He is. I can't believe that. Or signed through 2021.
I think it's time for a follow up, man. You got to get that Sabre nomination again. You got to write about Albert Pujols, the resurgence of Albert, the redemption arc.
He's
for
getting
Albert Pujols.
He's getting $59 million the next 2 years. How is that possible?
They paid for the couple years up front where he was also bad, and then now they're paying for it now.
Those 2 years where I think he was like 30th and 35th or something like that in WRC+, it's just so bad.
Yeah. So did you have a favorite of this year's?
Yeah. This year, my favorites were probably... for contemporary baseball analysis, my favorite was probably Sam Miller's How is WAR Calculated Really?
Yes, that was
breaking down a single play to find out. I thought that was really neat. There are a couple good ones in there. Rob Arthur's piece on Baseball Prospectus, The Baseball is Juiced Again, is interesting. But I like the Sam Miller one. And then for the commentary, I think David Roth is one of the 5 or 10 best writers going in not just sports writing, but general pop culture and societal commentary. So he's the smartest guys in the clubhouse. I thought that was fantastic. He's right for Deadspin, and he was one of the many horrible losses at the hands of private equity that happens to constantly to great writers.
I think he was already out of Deadspin for a while, wasn't he?
No, he was elsewhere, but he was always hosting their Undead cast.
Oh, gotcha.
Or their Dead cast. And he was, by the time he wrote this, yes, he'd been out of Deadspin since like June or July.
Yeah.
But that was when everyone quit, basically.
Yeah.
And then I think I only read the Mark Normandin one in a historical baseball analysis. Other than the Meaning of Ichiro, I've read too, but I think my favorite one was probably the David Roth one. That was really, really good. Very interesting commentary, not just on, you know, the crimes of the Astros, but how private equity and that whole McKinseyfication of society as a whole is really kind of creating an emptiness of moral or ethical grounding in most everyday life. And I thought that was really
good. The Astros lacking moral merit? Are you sure? I've never heard of such a thing.
The thing is, I mean, they're not the only ones that hire people from McKinsey and Co. and other places like that. So, you know. What about you? What was your favorite?
Mine was definitely the How Was War Calculated. I think that's one that, no matter what level of sabermetrics you care about, that's one everybody can read and get a lot out of. It's to get into it more, like what he did basically was he took a very complicated play that had a lot of moving parts. I mean, they did like, I think it did almost every single thing that could happen in the field at once. There was an errant throw, a pickoff attempt, a bad base running. It was a hit. There was a single. And basically it looked at like which parts of the play contribute to war and how it does. And the catchy title was about war, but there was also stuff about WPA in there. And it was just really neat to see, because I think a lot of people, war is just this big mysterious thing to them. But if you look at a play and see like who gets credited for what and how it goes into the formula, it helps understand war and a bunch of other stats too, is that it's not that it is complicated, but it's not completely mysterious. There is a calculation to it. And I think it was interesting how he also did, he broke it on like each site, how they do stuff like Baseball Reference. I didn't realize, I think it's in war maybe, where they have, they use Baseball Info Solutions for their defensive stuff, who they apply like a tag of if it's a difficult defensive play and stuff like that. I didn't even know that. I didn't know what the difference was, but that's what it is. And Fangraphs uses their own defensive metrics, so it's always good to look at like different places where they calculate this stuff. I thought that was really neat.
Prime Sam Miller writing, and that it was very just neat. We're always like, ooh, this is cool and silly and fun, but it's informative and neat and fun at the same time, I think.
Yeah, and the Baseball is Juiced one, I tried to figure it out. I don't know. Did they ever follow it up? Because that was after a week he did that, and he acknowledged a bunch of times, like, this is just a week worth of stuff in cold weather. We don't know. But because that was about how drag coefficient this year was way, way down. He isolated stuff that would take it out of just being cold weather. But I'd want to know if that trend carried. I guess it probably did because of how many home runs were hit. But I would have loved to see that and then also see it in the playoffs. I don't know if he did a follow-up on that.
I do remember people talking about that the ball like the was different in the playoffs again. Yes, right. But it went
which
back
is
up.
Really not weird, too, like, by the way. Like, why would you do that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they didn't want games decided on cheap seeming home runs or some shit. I don't know. I mean, if there was actually a thought process to it, that's the only one I could really think. But that's why I said before. I mean, what if the powers that be are like, you know what? There's too many home runs. People are really getting bored of it.
So now in the playoffs, we're going to go ahead and change it.
Yeah, and then we're going to keep this ball for the next season. And all of a sudden, the Indians win the World Series, and that's fine with me. That's fine with me, all right?
Then I was a little disappointed that I had a – I mean, I did a whole analysis on finger guns. I don't know which one that would fall in.
Yeah, this is bullshit.
I calculated cues per second, damn it. That is
math. No, I remember.
I look at frames.
That was real. You know what? That would be in probably – I'll tell you. That would probably be in –
that's
contemporary
baseball analysis.
That is strong. Yeah. I mean, I would say that's probably sixth on my list after these five. So that was good.
I'm sure
real
it was
journalism.
It was, that was very real journalism. I used the word pews per second. I think I used the phrase, the face, we're going to pew the shit out of them. That was a phrase that I used at one point. It was real hard hitting stuff. They didn't want to use it though. I was really disappointed, but I'm sure next year I'll try to do a follow-up. I'll say the guns are juiced or something and we'll be good there.
Ooh.
Any other things, any other thoughts on, are you going to get there next year, Merritt? Is this your year to be a Sabre winner, or any other thoughts on
the
articles?
I don't know what they want anymore. It's ridiculous, you know?
The fame was just too much from being nominated.
I can't tell anyone. Because like you have articles like Craig Goldstein's The Moral Hazard of Playing It Safe.
Yeah.
Which is just... I don't know, whatever. But then you have other things like Roth's thing, or you have other things that just prospective feature Loss for Words, how he loves baseball and all this stuff, and he cussed and stuff like that. Daniel Epstein's Don't Let Anybody Insult You, which is basically saying, listen, they're making a shitload of money. They're playing it cheap on you. So I don't know.
That was his goodbye post too, because he's one of the California workers who can't be a
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which is kind of sucks for him that he had to leave. And then one of the best writings of the year was just his leaving post. But I hope he finds a way to write more again, because that was really good. And the other stuff he's done is good.
It'd be nice if SB Nation would pay people. Hey, what are you going to do?
Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be really neat if they did that?
Real money, so we could afford to do real things with our life instead of...
You know what kind of things we could do, Mary? If we had a lot of money? We could pay Brett Favre to say nice things about us. Or we could pay... I don't know if you saw that. Some guy named Tron Madden on Twitter. He paid to have Hugh Jackson say to follow him. And then McNeil on Twitter, he paid to have Hugh Jackson thank him for the 0-16 parade, which was... That was the one that set me off about, like, why would these rich people...
You know, yeah, you can decide whether or not to accept it.
Yes, and he did. Thing. For a whole $60, he had to thank somebody who celebrated his biggest failure. And this is on cameo.com, by the way. It's the most bizarre website. I still don't get it. I can't wrap my head around money, but by any of these celebrities would do it. And I don't know. They make you say the weirdest things. I guess some of them are 2 seconds, like, hey, happy birthday. And then you give them $400. But like ones like Hugh Jackson.
Like that. Yeah. I watched some of the Caitlyn Jenner ones and.
Which, by the way,
I don't understand.
$2,500.
Yes, $2,500, which is, you know, I don't know, rent. And then some more money also, or
several rents.
Any number of things that I pay for that I could, you know, I could definitely use $2,500. But what are you going to do? But
yeah,
those ones are amazing. But then you have guys like, there's a $5 one on here. Tony Rica, former WWE superstar for $5. What did he do, just fart into the microphone and send it? Like,
I mean, theoretically, they're not different quality, right? The quality is the person, which is kind of depressing about this whole website. Because they're all doing the exact
Greg
same
Oden's
thing.
On here. Like,
oh, Greg Oden, he needs Santang? Money. We should do him.
Oh, that's who FP Santangelo is. That's right. Okay. He's color.
Yeah.
Kurt Schilling's on here with the worst possible picture. It's a great site. It's stupid and ridiculous and dumb, but it's also delightful.
The Indians, for what it's worth, they have Carlos Baerga, Rajai Davis. Percy Gardner, who I didn't realize he retired, but he's a former baseball player and a motivational speaker. He's only $10, the poor guy. He did make it to the major, so he at least got one little bit of a payday, I guess. But
$10, I'd say something. On the what do you call him last year, too? The Orioles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was, that's right. And then Brandon Guyer's one, and then Dan Otero. Dan Otero is the most expensive Indian you can get at $40. I mean, he's a former Indian.
I have received
now,
a cameo from him. So, yeah, there you go.
And what was it you told your wife after she sent it to you?
I don't know why she bought that. It's stupid. It's so stupid.
Because I think there was awesome a long time when he was the only Indian on there, so I think she just looked for Cleveland Indians.
Yes, 100%. Like, oh, that's what she did. And like,
Dan Otero,
I 100%
cool
had written like articles pillorying him because he had been terrible for 2 years.
And then she paid this poor guy $40 to wish you a happy birthday after you were mean to him.
Yeah, and then she's like, hey, I hope you write some good things about me. He 100% researched me and went, boy, he really... Let me see. I'm gonna see what the last thing I wrote about him was.
Well, this guy's an asshole, but $40 is $40.
Hey, 40 bucks is 40 bucks.
I don't know. They have to make more than just like, I don't know, $30 for Rajai Davis, and he's only done a few. Like, he can't possibly make enough to make this worth it, right? I guess if you just like if people like talking
that's
to fans.
That's the thing.
And...
It doesn't really, like, it doesn't take any time. I know someone who works there, and he knows that Brett Favre makes a shitload of money doing this. And he just spends half an hour in the morning, another half an hour in the afternoon, and just trucks, you know, you get $400 for 30 seconds of talking, and then you do that, 30 times a day. You're clearing some good cake. So,
but at what point does he need more cake, though? He's just piling cake on cake. He should have, like,
I know, it's a lot of
cake building interest.
He
could live off the frosting every year. He doesn't need new cake.
That's the thing. At this point, he doesn't have to spend any of his football money, I guess. And so he's just like, I need some money.
He's got football money. He's got gene money. He's got all kinds of stuff.
I forgot about the gene money. That's right. And the other thing, too, the bronze thing or whatever, the copper, like, insert knee thing or whatever.
The copper tone?
Yeah, is maybe. Copper tone, I don't know.
I don't know. No, they're something a like sunscreen company. I don't know. But yeah, he doesn't need money. I don't know. But the important part of all this is that we should get one of these to do it for Let's Go Tribe, I think.
100%.
None of them are expensive because they're all Indians. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it would be, though. We have Carlos Baerga. He'd be interesting. I think Rajai Davis would be more fun. And also when our
Rajai
intro,
Davis
I used
is
the
one
call of his home run.
Definitely most important. Yeah, he's the best one. I mean, if I got, he's not purely an Indian, which sucks, but...
I think he's always going to be in for that home run. Like, no matter what.
Oh, definitely. I agree with you. It's just he's played for every single team under the sun.
Right, yeah.
So and then some other ones. But Bragg would be fun and funny.
I wish there was more, though. I would like to see. I don't know. Who would be your dream one to have do this? Like, past.
Kenny Lofton would be really good. Cody Anderson.
Of course it'd be Cody Anderson. He comes on camera sweating every single time.
I mean, Albert Bell would be fun. Either someone like that or just like some bit player who's just on the team forever, like Raphael Betancourt or something like that.
Raphael Betancourt, how much would he cost?
I don't know, $30? I don't know. I mean, if Dan Terra costs 40.
Yeah. If Carlos Baerga is 30, then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Carlos Baerga is only 30, you know? So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that that would be great. Cody Allen's in the Twins now?
Yeah. He probably doesn't do it, does he? I'm trying to look at like just recent years of Indians and see who would be interesting on it. I think Mike
Clevenger.
Casey
Kochman. Oh, I think the real answer is either Lou Marcin or Travis Hafner. Travis Hafner would be fun.
Travis Hafner would be fun. Lou Marcin, though? That's not a
Lou Marcin. Yeah, yeah.
That's not a real one.
Lou Marcin. That's not a real person at all.
Lou Marcin. Matt LaPorta would be nice.
I think the most boring one would be like Cliff Lee or something like that. God, he'd be boring.
So would Corey Kluber, as much as I like him.
So would Corey Kluber, yeah. Paul Bird, drunk. No. Parody. I'm not slandering him. I'm just making drawing conclusions from.
Gotta get a lawyer. Watching Paul Bird a lot. Oh, Manny Ramirez, that'd be a good one if he would do it.
Well, and we all want. I don't know why Jensen Lewis isn't already doing this. He's a quote unquote media figure.
Oh God, that's only a matter of time.
Jensen, we need you to say things about how stats are bad. All right, go.
I want to have him say things later. About how stats are good. I want him to,
oh, yeah.
to make him say that.
Hey, thanks for all the saber metrics. It's all I care about. This is Jensen Lewis.
Signing off.
Hell yeah.
Randy Sizemore could do it shirtless. That'd be fun. Victor Martinez.
But only after he's really gone to seed. I want to see a fat version of Grady Sizemore.
That was the issue with Albert Bell, too. Like, I don't think Albert Bell is very fiery anymore, so he'd probably be pretty boring.
No, he's a sweet old man now.
Bartolo
Ellis
Colon.
Burks. Yes.
Oh, Ellis Burks.
Now we're
good.
Getting there.
Yeah.
Now we're
I feel like
there.
We're just naming names now, but.
Now we're just rattling them off, baby. Oh, Milton Bradley's the only real answer. Can you just yell at me for a while? This is perfect. Thank you.
He doesn't have another volume. It would just be yelling. That's all I need. But yeah, as far as who's there, I'm going to try. I'm literally legitimately going to try this and see if they can do. I don't know if there's like a disclaimer they can't do it for things like that because it's technically
Why not? An endorsement or something like that?
Yeah, I guess it's something we make money off of, so maybe they can't totally do it, but I'll look and see.
Hey, they're making money too. We're all making money here.
Like, I guess if you license, you're technically licensing the thing they send you, I guess. It'd be confusing, but I'm going to try either Baerga or Davis. Brandon Guyer, I don't know if he's very fun, but I wouldn't mind Brandon Guyer either. Percy Garner.
Hey, this is Brandon Guyer. I love being hit with baseballs. It's the best.
This is Brandon Guyer. Ow. Bye. I want to pay him $25 just to say ow on camera. That's it. A 3-second
clip. Please stop hitting me with baseballs. Thanks, guys.
So, yeah, hopefully one of these days soon, we'll do a crowdfunding for it and see how long it takes us to get $30. We'll see.
Terry Francona told me to do that. He wanted me to get beat up by baseballs.
Requested he's in like a dark corner. I didn't want to be hit by the baseballs. Terry Francona made me do it. He said, lean over the plate. It's just as good as getting a hit. Yeah, that's what that is. So we'll finish up with questions this week, as we pretty much always do. And we always ask you guys on Monday on Twitter and Facebook what you want to know about the Indians or this time of year. I mean, it's literally anything. And we'll talk about anything because, good Lord, there's no baseball.
We need something to talk about. Yeah, anything. We're bored.
So we'll start with at Hiram Boyd. He asked, if Bradley Zimmer has a big spring training, can he make the team? I mean, yeah, I don't think he needs to even have a big spring training, right?
He needs to have a normal spring training.
He needs to come out and not break anything, and he's on the team. He's Greg Allen, like, Sports Illustrated on Cleveland Baseball Insider. They wrote that Greg Allen's the odd man out, which sounds about right because he's just redundant with the line of the Shields now, and the Shields is going to be the speed guy, and Bradley Zimmer is going to be there as the fourth outfielder.
I mean, the hope would be that he actually taps into something resembling the potential that made him a first-round pick.
Obviously. Are you talking Zimmer or –
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But no, I think it's – I have to jump to the conclusion that he has an inside track if he does anything resembling hit and run and field.
If he does anything even close to the baseball, he's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely. I mean, the only thing that Allen has over him is being a switch hitter, which
Which, I mean, Terry Francona does like him some switch hitters, so maybe that helps him more than we'd think. But
yeah.
But if Zimmer can actually hit and Greg Allen can't, I mean, that's pretty much it.
Huh.
So Matthew Sandell on Facebook, he said, why can't the Tribe draft or develop an outfielder who is productive? Seems like forever we keep getting these guys who are so mediocre and have little pop. That's a good question. I don't think anybody on the Indians really knows. They've drafted a bunch of them really high, right? It's been, I mean, Naquin and Zimmer were pretty high draft picks.
There were the guys who, I don't know, when I was really excited about stuff, I was hopeful that the outfield would be Naquin in left and Zimmer in center. And
oh, those were the days.
Frazier in right. And it was just, they'd all hit 25 to 35 home runs or 50 doubles or something like that. It was going to be awesome. None of that happened. So, I don't know. I wonder about this. Right?
I don't think there's something in the minor leagues that's making them develop poor outfielders.
It's hard to develop good players. You know what I mean? Like, it's just difficult. They did. Oscar Mercado was there now, so that's something. But I think the real question that I think this person is asking is, why can't they develop anyone who can hit an outfielder who can hit a bunch of home runs? God damn it! And I wonder that myself, because that's all they did in the 1990s. Like, they just farted out 30 home run outfielders. It was amazing. But now it's just not that at all. It's the exact opposite. All they do is make pitchers and small but surprisingly punchy middle infielders. Now, if they can keep on doing that, awesome. And then they'll just keep on trading those for, I don't know,
Framil Reyes.
Guys as outfielders.
Yeah, we can play the
Framil Reyes. Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be fine. I hope Reyes is an outfielder. I think we've all been over that. But
we'll see. Yeah, they're apparently going to try it, but who knows?
Hey, you know, you got to try.
Yeah. And I think I also know. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that Daniel Johnson, who they acquired, like, if they develop him into a decent outfielder, that's two. I mean, they got Mercado and Johnson. So that's, I guess, their percentage is going up. So maybe they sort of figured something out. But I don't think position players you can create as much as you can pitchers anymore. Maybe that'll come eventually. But it seems like with pitchers, you can find things so much earlier in them now compared to batters. Like, you don't know how they're going to progress. But pitchers, you can look and develop stuff with high-speed cameras. But batters, I mean, if they can't see as well, if their eye isn't good, you can't.
Right.
No slow-motion camera is going to help you. I mean, unless you're banging on a trash can somewhere, but I don't think they want to do that.
I mean, and that's why it's just, I think the reason that, well, the obvious reason being that it's just the whole fly ball revolution was, it just makes sense. But also, hitting is always hard because you never get to, you're always on the back foot from the get-go because you're not in charge. You're not starting anything. But also, pitchers are always getting better and better every year, so everyone's becoming more of a sellout hitter in a sense, you know. And I just, that's something you can or cannot develop. You can't. I mean, you can tell, you can have an organizational philosophy of teaching a certain way of hitting and stuff like that. But within that is still having to draft guys who are naturally able to see the ball and hit the ball and do that consistently. Which, again, they've done. I mean, Michael Brantley did happen. That was only a couple years ago.
Oh, I forgot about Michael Brantley. Yeah, they did have that guy, didn't they?
Yeah, right.
But he's like, he was it for so many years. He was their only
good outfielder. I mean, you look back to the 2000s. Yeah, they just went on a run there where it just seemed like they were just not getting any impact from their outfield at all offensively. Just constantly, over and over and over. And I'm sure we've all talked, thought, and written about it in somewhere or other. I don't know why it keeps on happening.
But it's
our latest victim is Jake Bowers probably at this point. Not really. Obviously, he was not someone they developed. They just picked him up, but he's bad also. So I don't know. Maybe
he still counts.
Yeah.
So we'll finish up with this one. A very on-brand question. Pete Brooks Bank on Facebook. He wants to know: is Dolan not sticking around for questions after his award? In a way, kind of worse than his enjoyment era of last season. It really doesn't look good. I think the worst thing was what he said when he got the award. I think his best course of action would be to not stick around for questions. After he does anything. Yes. I want to see him do more of that. So
he should go into hiding. Just leave. Get out of here, you.
Yeah. Oh, I know. We're going to finish out with a different one, actually. Forget what I said. That's not
okay.
At Cornhusker.
Get out of here, Dolan. You're a clown.
At Cornhusker 5280, he asked, if you could pick one player from Major League and put them on the Indians this season, who would it be and why?
Oh, the eternal question, huh?
Have we done this one before? I don't think we have.
Probably.
I think I've just thought about it before.
Right, exactly. We all have.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, Pedro Serrano, you gotta hit the dingers. That's.
I agree with you, but he can't hit curveballs, and balls are moving more than ever these days.
That's true.
I would say I'd prefer to have Willie Mays Hayes, personally.
I mean, it's basically Kenny Lofton. It's what he was being, so yeah,
right.
I'll take him.
Exactly. It's either Kenny. Yeah, well, yeah, he's still 100 bases. Like, damn, it's somewhere between Kenny Lofton and, what's his name? Ricky Henderson, basically.
Yeah. I can't think of anyone else. I guess Roger Dorn was old at that point. Dorn was the old one. No, Jake Taylor was the old one, right? Dorn was
Jake catcher. Taylor was old. Dorn was the flashy third baseman who could hit, but he was a prima donna, right?
Yeah.
Although Hayes would fit in because he really hated hitting grounders, but boy, you know who likes hitting grounders? That's right. Terry Francona. I got to move those guys over.
I think Ricky Vaughn would be suspended really quickly. I don't think he'd last very long. I think that's good.
Yeah, who are the other players? That's the thing.
That matters. I'm looking at the Wikipedia now. I don't remember Duke Temple or Clue Haywood or – I remember the Duke. He wouldn't be good anymore. He would hate analytics. He just started spitting the ball. It wouldn't work. Charlie Donovan, I don't remember who that was. I haven't seen this movie in a long time. Harry Doyle, I'll take a new – I don't hate Tom Hamilton, but Bob Uecker as Harry Doyle? Yeah, sure, I'll take that.
I'll take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the right answer is Willie Mae Hayes or –
Yeah,
I guess you're right. Pedro Serrano can't hit curveball, so I'm gonna kill him. But it'd be fun. I mean, he's just out
of Dorn.
They were just picking old archetype. Well, I know it was before, right? Because Kenny Lofton would have been on the Indians. They protected the Indians.
They did. Is the thing they kind of did. They hit all these different marks, but I mean, they were like you said, archetypes. But that was like 89. Lofton was on the team yet.
Really? I thought he was.
I don't think so. Let's use the internet to find out. Kenny Lofton.
Let's click really loudly and figure it out. Because I know he used to wear those. He came on at the end of those old uniforms. I remember seeing him in those.
Right. Okay.
Oh, no. 1991. So you're right. He wasn't on the field. They predicted the Indians. It's terrible. Was there a reliever like Ricky Vaughn in the 90s on the Indians? I know John Rocker would be close, but I don't think he was. Was he in Cleveland?
No, he was on the Braves.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so they predicted two at least. Because Pedro Serrano is clearly Albert Bell. I mean, with the anger issues. And then, would they have... Now, Oral Hershiser wouldn't have been old enough to be the Duke, would he?
No. So maybe Roger Dorn might be a good pick because he seemed like he was a talented guy who could hit a lot.
If you could get Roger Dorn, he was good. Time, maybe. Was he still good in the movie, though?
Yeah, because he's going to be a free agent of the year. Yeah.
That's right. I'm thinking of Jake Taylor, who was bad now because he was old and his knees were busted. That's who the Indians would get. They'd get him on like a one-year deal. That's what they're going to
do. Oh, 100%. Yeah, no. I mean, that's what would really happen.
Yeah, it'd be Jake Taylor on a one-year minor league option for $1 million and then be it. All right, so we'll call that an episode.
Right? I prefer T-Rex Pennebaker, but whatever. Anyway.
The hell is T-Rex Pennebaker?
You never saw Mr. 3000?
Oh, no. I watch very few baseball movies because I don't like them.
Was great.
Yeah.
The other guy's name was literally T-Rex Pennebaker. They were trying to get into third place was the goal at the end of the movie.
I think after watching Field of Dreams, I'm like, I don't care. These movies, they're not very good. Bull Durham was really good. We did the movie club a couple years ago, and I watched a few of them. I love Bull Durham, but I don't like most baseball movies. So we'll call that. Now we'll call an episode after the false start. But talk to you next week, Mary.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Most of the time, we talk about tech in terms of a handful of gigantic companies, like Google, Meta, and Apple. But some of the most interesting stuff we find online is the product of a single person.
When you're working on your own, I think there's this beauty of being able to come up with an idea and then implement it then in that moment. You don't have to have permission from someone else. There's no red tape.
In the Vergecast series, Solo Acts, we'll get to know these people, the tech they use to get stuff done, and the obstacles they face trying to compete with the giants.
Some people that I talk to and my friends are like, you know, your competitors are Zuckerberg and Musk. Like, aren't you kind of like afraid of that?
Every Monday, our friend Ashley Esqueda will be curating and hosting these interviews and sharing with us what she's learned.
I can't believe the McRib locator was originally a tornado locator.
Right.
Pretty wild.
Listen to our Solo Acts miniseries now in the Vergecast feed, anywhere you find podcasts.
Hello, I'm Neelai Patel, the editor-in-chief of The Verge and host of Decoder, a business podcast where I interview CEOs about big ideas, the problems that come from those ideas, and how they make decisions. It is also surprisingly about org charts. It comes up a lot. We're launching a new limited series that we're calling the Centennial Series, where I talk to CEOs of companies that are over 100 years old, like Xerox, Barnes & Noble, and more. There's no 100-year-old company that's without its struggles, and it's been fascinating to talk to these CEOs about which parts of these companies' history are important and which parts they can let go. A little spoiler for you. If a company is over 100 years old, there's a lot of drama to talk about. It's been a good time. You can listen to the Centennial series right in the Decoder feed. New episodes of Decoder are out on Tuesday, and the Centennial series is out on Thursdays. Check it out. We think you're really going to like it. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.